technological advancements, developments, Android versus iOS, a world full of high tech. Welcome to the Tech Show with Boy Genius.
Hey, welcome to the Not So Tech Tech Show on Active FM with your host Kevin Babel and the best in the first name, last name?
Best in.
Yes, welcome to another week of awesome content, another week of being not so techy, but yeah, we've returned. We are here.
Again.
But do you know we are here? So today we're going to be speaking about being monitored.
Yeah.
Being monitored, what does that mean? Or being watched.
Basically, being watched.
And how technology is being used in order to watch people. And not only that, but also to influence decisions, get data about why people do specific things, and so on and so forth. So, yeah, buckle up. It's going to be a very interesting show.
Mm-hmm.
Might be scary. Might be exciting.
Yeah.
Who knows?
we need like a sound, some scary, creepy sound that just needs to be like in the background.
I think we just fuel people's technophobia with such a sound like that. It's like, no, man. It's like, I think people, like, before we like really delve into the topic, I think, when you don't understand exactly what's happening in terms of tech, monitoring tech, you can get such a phobia, but there's a lot of things that really help us.
Yeah.
There's a lot of weird things, like I wouldn't want to be monitored on.
Yeah.
Like somebody constantly tracking my heart rate. It's
like, yeah.
It's like, I don't want anyone with my heart rate. But yeah, the technophobia that's created by that. If you don't know what technophobia means, it means that you have a fear of technological advancements. You have a doomsday mentality when it comes to technological advances, which is quite normal, because whatever humans tend to not understand, they attach a doomsday scenario to it.
Which is basically what a phobia is, really. You're just fearing that which you do not understand.
Yeah. So it's like, it's amazing. Like, the amount of doomsday scenarios you have. A grenade exists. Wow, there's a doomsday.
Exactly.
Like, throw it into this volcano that does this and that. Nuclear missiles, there's a doomsday.
Well, those
scenario.
Ones are pretty. Those are pretty doomsday, though.
Yeah, meteorites, doomsday. Like the
electric
amount of
cars, doomsday.
The amount of articles I've read about asteroids that are 350 light years away, heading in our direction.
NASA has been pushing those. They're literally like, they've lettered a plea to take it more seriously for some reason.
Yeah, and then there are some that are like, no, it's 2-3 light years away, moving at this speed. And it's like, okay, so is it heading our way or not? So like, there's so many doomsday scenarios. But I have this interesting book that I'm reading called The Fourth Industrial Revolution, and it's something we're going to speak about in our future show. But the author speaks about how technology is progressing, and the author speaks about how a lot of people think that the improvement of technology is only on a gadgetry level.
Yeah.
So like nicer phones, nicer cars, nicer TVs.
Yeah.
Like things that are visual. You can see them. But he goes on to mention about how there's a digital revolution.
Yeah.
And there's a biological revolution as well.
Yeah.
And of course, with the biological revolution, it's genomics, gene sequencing, CRISPR, material sciences, 3D printing, and so on and so forth. But in the digital revolution, he begins to speak about the concept of the Internet of Things.
IoT.
The ability for different components in the whole technology stack to speak to each other.
Yeah.
and to relay information to each other and send information to a central place. So basically reconstructing civilization in terms of technology, basically.
Yeah.
So to give you an example, it's like in your house, your lights are connected to your TV, which are connected, like your lights speak to your TV, or they all speak to a central hub, basically.
Yeah.
So your lights are connected to a central hub, TV, stove, your whole house is basically interconnected, and you can control it from your phone. So you send your kid up to sleep, and then decide they're going to watch TV and not sleep, you can just press a button, their lights go off, the TVs go on. I mean, the TVs go off. The TVs go off, and
the lights go off.
Yeah, they're off to bed.
Yeah.
And there are more use cases, like in security, having your fence being a monitoring guard, having sensors that's picking up the activity on your fence.
Cameras,
Like, you don't even need, like, the cameras are awesome. But just if you just have ultrasonic sensors, things that can sense ultrasonic proximity, motion sensors as well, things that can just detect movement and stuff like that, to just let you know how much movement actually happens. Of course, camera now to be able to detect whether this is a situation that requires emergency assistance from police. Is it a fire? All these different things. So the IoT revolution is pretty good, but the other layer that sits on top of that is monitoring.
Cue the dramatic music.
So of course, if you take your smartphone, for example, if you're an Android user, Android, whether you turn off your GPS and your location settings, still pulls GPS data from you. It triangulates from cell stations and all these different things. And they don't let you know that's happening. And the excuse is so that they can route your phone calls better, route or route depending on where you are in the world right now. But they can route your phone calls to the nearest cell tower properly, and things like that. But it's a very interesting thing that a device, regardless of whether you've turned off your GPS settings, is still deciding to capture your every move.
Your GPS locations. It is just one of those dilemmas now with Google. Because, of course, they give, like you say, the excuses that this makes the whole cell phone experience better. And this allows services, which I don't know if they listed, or a number of services to work, but they need the location data. And also, the other problem it causes, for example, is in now in the App Store, where they have apps that require ridiculous amounts of permissions. A torch app that wants to make, that wants access to your calls and your messages, and to make messages and to make calls and access to your photos. And reading up on this, of course, they can't ban something like this, because now on their side, Google itself has a whole lot of data it's busy collecting from the user.
No, they can't ban it.
This monitoring the user.
They don't. They just don't have a way to. They don't manually check the things.
No, as in, boss, of course, so, one solution would be get people to not allow apps on there that ask for permissions outside of what they're supposed to be doing, so that they're not monitoring all that other data of yours.
Yeah,
which isn't happening.
To be able to do that, you need a person to manually test. But that's still data harvesting. It's interesting because I don't think I have a problem with GPS capturing happening to optimize things like phone calling and all of that. It's when the data now begins to leave the device. Because it's like there's an essence of monitoring, because one thing we need to understand is a lot of these big tech companies are advertising companies. Where their revenue comes from advertising. And of course, the advertising business always wants to put the most relevant ads to you, in front of you, things that you are likely to buy. And of course, the most productive way to do that is to understand the person.
Yeah.
And is to come up with a model of what this person is.
Yeah.
So if every day you're waking up at 6 o'clock in the morning and you're going to a coffee store and you're doing all these different things and all of that, and there's a chance you pass a specific restaurant or you pass a specific restaurant every week,
yeah,
that restaurant happens to be using Google for its ads, and they know that you pass this thing,
yeah,
on a constant basis. If they know that sort of information and they can monitor that, then they can get their ads to target that specifically.
Yeah.
Like a weekend.
Yeah.
When,
yeah,
your movements are a bit lower. And all that happens is that they give you the idea of you going there and that the ad was effective.
Yeah.
So that's just on a level of unknown.
Yeah.
And it's crazy because, like I mentioned before, it's not that I'm concerned with the GPSs being tracked on a constant basis.
Yeah.
Because things need to be optimized. It's now that data being taken when the user has said, well, I don't want you to track GPS. I've turned it off.
Yeah.
I don't want you to keep my location history.
Yeah.
So now I think I'm done.
Yeah, but you're not.
Because that means that apps also have access,
yeah,
if smart enough, to that underlying stuff without your permission as well.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it becomes the issue of privacy now. And to what extent exactly is, could we say, should be allowed, not even allowed actually, but it comes from the people themselves, I think the users, not really understanding how much of their privacy is being breached,
yeah,
based off all the information where they believe that, for example, switching off locations, hey, I'm not being tracked anymore.
Yeah, but it's being made believe like that.
Yeah.
You see, this is where I prefer Apple's way of doing things,
yeah,
more than any other server, more than any other cell phone maker, regardless of what operating system they use,
yeah,
is that one, they have people personally going through the apps.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? They're checking, is it doing what it's supposed to do? Is it not just mutating? Is it doing all these different things? Your app doesn't even get reviewed if they pick up that you're using a specific thing that requires permission,
yeah,
yet you don't state why you need it in,
yeah,
your list of permissions so that the user can see,
yeah,
when something's happening. They reject your app from even being reviewed.
Yeah.
So there are things like that. And of course, in iOS 13, they added things like, this app can use my GPS while I'm using the app, but it should always ask me,
yeah,
when I get in.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying? So the minute I close the app, its access, its privilege to my GPS has disappeared.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying they're perfect, because there are some people who've sneaked in and are able to get all sorts of other data because they come in as game apps and things like that.
Yeah.
But they are tracking all sorts of things. But like, that's on a small level.
Very small level.
But while it's small, but it's happening to a lot of people.
Yeah.
But there's monitoring happening on an even grander scale.
Yeah.
So for example, like in China.
Yeah, China is at the forefront here of monitoring citizens. It's right now, because one thing I see they're doing, China is pushing to be, of course, be ahead in terms of your AI cities, let me say, your artificially intelligent cities or intelligent cities. And right now they're at that point where they're just implementing these things. For example, like their cameras in their cities with facial recognition. So there are people walking around literally being scanned and monitored, and their identities and stuff being basically scanned and monitored. It's not even a thing of consent anymore. This is just something implemented, where as you walk in the streets of the cities of China, you know you are being watched. Your face is being scanned. They know who you are at the point, no matter where you might be in the city. And it's crazy, because it's no longer just in the cities anymore. It's now in the schools. it's penetrated the schools as well, where a number of primary schools also have facial recognition. And this isn't something like the consent was asked from the parents. This is just something in the schools. And in one article I was reading, it was they use this information and they're feeding their models, actually. They're just feeding models about attendance, the children in the schools, where people are moving, and where they're going, when they're going there, the times at which they're going there. And there's AI models they're feeding with this information without actually even the consent or discussions from the people, which is very interesting.
Yeah, you know, China fundamentally wants to implement a social credit score.
Yeah.
A social rating system. And of course, to be able to effectively rate a person, one would think it's just, well, are they an upstanding citizen?
Yeah.
Well, what makes an upstanding citizen? Is it the fact that they haven't gone to jail? Is it the fact that they have no criminal offense? That means that most of the population should have a great score.
Yeah.
But no, we want to take it on to a whole nother level.
Yeah.
And China have a lot of smart cities, and they've got, those smart cities are some of the safest cities in the world.
Yeah.
Only problem is that every single place you go to, you're being seen.
Yeah.
Like, those smart cities are insane. Like, the buses are connected to the Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
The Wi-Fi is all over the city, so you know when the bus is coming, you know when all of this is coming. If you're a criminal walking down the street and you're detected to be a criminal, the police are already sent your way.
Yeah.
And you're not even aware of it.
Yeah.
So it's pretty, at a technology level, it's pretty awesome. It's just, of course, if you're using it for something like social scoring, it becomes weird, because now, as a government, they get to determine what makes a good citizen. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that puts things on edge.
Yeah.
It puts things on edge. And I guess it's not only China is an example.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of places where it's happened subtly. It's happening at like a very subtle pace.
Yeah.
A very subtle way. There's mass collection of CCTV footage. There are places where organizations to their employees are tracking every single thing they do.
Yeah.
Inside and outside of work.
Yeah.
So of course, this is all to get data to understand people.
Yeah.
So when you understand people, you are then able to direct things. You are able to understand the patterns as to why things happen. So like, for example, for me, people movement data would be very interesting data to play with.
Yeah.
Because you get to see patterns over time. So if you're like, what were the movement of people when a flu pandemic like came about, you get what
yeah.
I'm saying? When the Ebola crisis was there, how did people move?
Yeah.
So you compare all of them and you understand, well, when a disease outbreak happens, this is how people move.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. So you can already start implementing systems and things in place that when there's an outbreak, you already have the right people going to the right places and things like that. You can do the same for natural disasters.
Yeah.
When natural disasters happen in third world places versus first world countries,
yeah.
How do people move?
Yeah.
Like how do people move? When you're taking that and you're matching it with seismic data, so like little earthquake, what's the sensors that are underwater,
yeah,
tracking all these things, and you watch the movement of people and you start seeing how you can evacuate people when these things happen. So it's pretty awesome if you've got that sense of data. The problem is anonymity now.
Yeah.
Because there are the type of monitoring apps or monitoring things or data collection that is anonymous. It's the way this whole exchange happens is, I'm giving you something for free.
Yeah.
In the easiest way to deal with but the easiest way to pay me back is to give me data.
Yeah.
Now I'm gonna tell you what sort of data I'm getting. Now there are those idiots that pull more than they're supposed to.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you what data I'm taking.
Yeah.
And I promise you that I'm going to make this data anonymous.
Yeah.
And this is all that I need to take. Now, people go far and beyond that to take more data, but that's the exchange that happens. So now, there's data that's publicly available. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Like, if you anonymize movement data, it gives you a whole bunch of things to look at. I was telling somebody, Uber is now in the city planning business.
Yeah.
Because they understand the movements of entire cities.
Yeah.
Because they've got cars moving across those entire cities.
Yeah.
So they know the movement of cars in the morning versus in the evening versus at lunchtime versus at lunchtime when the Super Bowl is on versus when there is a great attack, how does everything change?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And they are able to tell hotspots in the city that need to be changed, and when metropolitan areas now start combining, because that's how the next step of building cities is going to be. You started with the suburbs, and then you move up to metropolitan areas, and now these metropolitan areas will begin combining. And when these metropolitan areas now start combining, you want to be able to alleviate traffic.
Yeah.
You want to be able to make sure that pedestrians aren't in harm of being spontaneously hit by a car.
Yeah.
Because the flow of vehicles isn't proper. That shops are placed in good places that people can get to what they need.
Yeah.
So, but you can do that with anonymous data. When you go to a place now that wants to implement social scoring, becomes a whole different ballgame, because the data they collect, they are able to link it back to you.
Yeah.
Exactly you. And it's like, what if I trip and fell? Does that make me a bad citizen?
You know, I just have a thought that I think as we progress into the future, and technology is becoming more and more a personal kind of interaction. Mm-hmm. I do think almost monitoring on a personal level, maybe not you directly, but more probably a digitized profile of who you are, is only inevitable, as they would want. As like I said, technology becomes more personal and ads are more tailored for an individual, and so on. So I think it's only inevitable. I think as we move further forth into the future.
No, look, technology produces data. The byproduct of any technological process is data.
Yeah.
So the inevitability, you can't argue with.
Yeah.
It is the sort of data they're capturing.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying? So if the byproduct is data, what is being used to generate that data?
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying all data is wrong. Like, there's very necessary data and very necessary use cases.
Yeah.
Like, for everything. You can't do genomics without data. You need a lot of data. But imagine the DNA. Every DNA example you're working with has the name of who it belongs to.
Yeah.
With a picture next to it.
Yeah.
And their address. And their entire family history.
Cloning.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's when it would get weird, because it's like, no, this is examples of DNA structures or sequences of people with cancer. You get what I'm saying? It's anonymized and it's clustered in that way. So yeah, this whole monitoring thing, like, I love data. Like,
yeah.
I really do. And it's why it becomes very interesting, because I know the extent at which people can go to. If you can build a system that can monitor people to the T for you to be able at real time to score them as a citizen, then what else can you do above that?
Yeah, I think it becomes bad when it becomes monitoring for control.
Yeah,
really. More than beat monitoring, for example, to better a system or traffic or adverts.
Yeah, and it's crazy, because you can then track the efficiency of your propaganda.
Yeah.
If you are trying to give about an ideology that people are supposed to behave a specific way.
Yeah.
And now you've got this monitoring tick to say, well, are people behaving the way we need to?
Yeah.
We've given out this piece of media, given out this idea, this whole thing.
Yeah.
How are we going to go about tracking how effective it is? Well, we have systems in place that are watching everybody every day.
Yeah.
So let's see how everybody is reacting to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And soon your TV will be watching you. So yeah. Well, I hope we didn't scare you too much.
Yeah.
it's the reality of what's happening. And like we mentioned, not all data is bad. Most of the data that's generated is okay.
Yeah.
It's just when you have these specific use cases where it's here for control.
Yeah.
It begins to get scary.
Yeah.
Because they can only do more.
Exactly.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Exactly.
As the price of a lot of things in tech is decreasing, so they can only do more.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, like as you said, it has its good parts. For example, if it's just data for demographics, they want to know, maybe Instagram wants to know, oh, all these people in this country. So they want to do something special, be it for a festival that's very important for a country or a region. They could have something going on there. Of course, with the data on the people around that area who are using Instagram per se, let me say. And it has its good uses, but it goes back to when it starts. For example, we're now at a national level and we're wanting to control people and rate people, that it becomes an issue. And so far, there hasn't been really any backlash for anywhere where it's being implemented. And I just hope that as we go further, that the regulations and stuff, they really speed up the regulations or actually putting things in place to prevent it being at a point where people are being monitored for control.
So this is, I think this is the closing note I can give. Yeah. In the book, the author says technology is moving so fast.
Yeah.
That the only thing that is slowing it down is ethics,
yeah,
and legal procedures.
Yeah.
So there are people fighting the fight,
yeah,
to ensure that there are restrictions, there are regulations,
yeah,
and there are boundaries as to what these people can do,
yeah,
what they can collect, how they can collect it,
yeah,
how they tag it, how they store it, where they put it,
yeah,
how long they keep it, and stuff like that. So yeah, I hope you enjoyed the show. Hope it didn't scare you too much. But must remember that all these things ain't that scary. Dun, dun, dun! Yeah, so thank you for joining us today. It's me, Kevin Babel, signing out with the best and the first name.
Best and last name.
Ooh, we said that in a different order.
Yes, we did.
Yeah. So yes, that's us signing out. Booyah.
Jesus was dead. The exceptional new act of worship album, As Above, So Below, is out. Get your very own copy on iTunes.
Resurrection is what we live for, restoring people back to miracles, unfolding, magnificent.
Also available on Spotify, Deezer, Apple Music, and so much more.
As above, so
tuned into Active FM.